All right. Aren't you excited about things that are happening around here at Cross Point? I hate to see we have a ministry out here called Small Groups. And we just concluded Small Groups. You didn't hear a lot about that because we just completed our semester of Small Groups. I can't wait for the next one to start up. We actually believe that real life change happens in the context of relationships. And so just wanted to sort of put that out there just to whet your appetite. Can't wait for the summer semester. We always conclude the summer semester with a serve day. Just wanted you to be aware of that, the way that you can connect and be a part of what's happening here. In fact, we always say you don't even have to be a member of Cross Point to connect with our small groups. They happen throughout the week at different various locations around the city. And so if you're here and you're part of another church, you can still be a part of some small groups that we have as a church. Or if you're not even in the building, but you're watching online, that's something if you're in this area you can do. Having said that, let me just pause right here and say welcome to all those that join us every week online from different locations around the city, out of the country. So glad you're here. Come on, can we welcome those that are here online? So glad that you're here with us today. Amen. Amen. Again, we always do things in a way of a series, and we have message notes and fill in the blanks and that kind of thing. But today's going to be a little bit different. I believe we provided you something where you could take some notes there in your worship guide, just kind of a blank page there where you can jot some things down. But I just want everybody to really kind of lean into this message and just really have a heart that just is open to hear what God has to say to you. In fact, I just want to begin this message with prayer. Father, thank you for what you want to say specifically to us today. I pray that you would open not just our ears, but our heart to hear. Give us a heart to hear, a heart to know. God, I believe that you have a specific purpose for bringing this word today to us. We know that your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish that you sent it to accomplish. So God, I surrender myself to you as a vessel, God, that I will not get in your way, but that you will just use me to bring that word of life to someone today that will change their life forever. Let this be the day. This is not a day of coincidence. This is a day of divine appointment. This is a day of divine purpose, God. Lord, we pray that you just tune our ears, change us, speak, Lord, to our lives, and bring forth life. We'll give you all the credit in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. I just want us all to relax, and I'm kind of speaking to myself this morning as we begin this message today, because when God has something specific to say, when he wakes you up weeks before you to deliver this message at 2 a.m. in the morning and just starts pouring something into your spirit, and you get out your iPad and you're like just kind of trying to catch up with God and stay up with what he's giving you. That occurred a couple of weeks ago. Couldn't hardly deliver the message of that day because I was thinking about this day coming. So I know God's got a specific purpose for this. I also know a second reason why I know God has a real purpose in this message is because not only does God give you something powerful, but then it seems like everything fights against you. You ever have those times, you know? And I've had that kind of time this week and this weekend and even this morning. And I said, okay, something's up. Something's up. So God's got something for somebody today. Amen. Why don't you turn to somebody next to you and say, God's got something for you today. Now turn to the person that was your second choice, okay, and say, God's got something for you today. Amen. Amen. I want us to relax, and it's going to be a little different, okay, today. But I'm going to do my best to deliver what God's shared with me. And I want to set this up this way this morning. I want to set this up with giving you a scripture. Before I give that, let me just kind of give you the context. The scripture is Matthew chapter 10, but Jesus is sending his 12 disciples out to share the good news, and he tells them, specifically to go to the house of Israel. He calls it the lost sheep of the house of Israel with the good news. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, he tells them what to do. He says, as you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom, one verse says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. And then he says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. He's telling them to do some powerful stuff. He says, freely you have received, freely give. In other words, this is what's happened to you. Now I want you to be used by me to deliver that same good news, same message of hope, same powerful word that sets people free. And then he gave them these instructions. He said, don't pack your stuff. Don't pack any extra clothes. Don't take any extra money. Don't take any extra supplies. Because he tells them, because here's what's going to happen. As you do what God's called you to do, he's going to provide everything you need. That's for somebody. As he's called us to do what he's called us to do, if we'll be obedient in that, God will provide for you everything you need. Somebody put it this way, there's provision for the vision. God gives you vision for something to do. If you step out on it, God's going to provide. He's going to make a way. Can I get an amen right there? Amen? And so in each town, he even said, he's going to provide for them a place to stay, a house to stay while they're there. So, and then he says this, gives them these instructions in verse 12. He says, as you enter the home, give it your greeting. One version says your blessing. One says salute it. But greet it. Come in. Be nice. They're being hospitable to you. And then it says, if the home is deserving, in other words, they treat you right, it's the right kind of place, let your peace rest on it. Look at this. If it is not, let your peace return to you. Now, I want you to file that. That's important. Let it return to you. And then he says, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. He says, shake the dust off your feet. He goes on to say, truly I tell you, it would be more tolerable or more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on that day of judgment than for that town. So here's what he's saying. He says, let me break this down, just kind of put the cookies on the bottom shelf where everybody can get to them, okay? So he's saying you're going into a town and you've got a message, and if that message, if they will not listen, or if, let's put it this way, if they reject that, and we know looking at history that the nation of Israel has rejected as a whole, that he is the Christ, the Messiah. Now, listen to this. Jesus, he knows what it feels like to be rejected. The Bible says he was rejected by his own. So when we talk about that word rejected, there's an offensiveness about that. Being rejected, sometimes we get offended. I had somebody actually come up to me yesterday asking me something, and this girl was... She had all the pretty on, you know. She had the smiling face, and she was asking something of me, and she was real cheerful using it, you know what I'm saying, working it, and she was asking something of me, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do what she was asking. And when she got the answer no instead of yes, that pretty face, I'm telling you, it was like turned into, I mean, she looked like a demon. I mean, she went from angel to demon just that fast because rejection, you know, we don't get the answer we want, you know, reject. But when you're, and sometimes we're that way, when we're rejected, there's an offense, it's offensive. It hurts when we're rejected. Jesus knows what it's like to be rejected. And so there's an offensiveness to that. Sometimes it comes by way of feeling hurt or wounded. There's some pain associated with rejection. There's sometimes some offensive words and behavior that accompanies that rejection. So I want us to see a clear picture of this. When they say, well, they won't receive you, they didn't just say, well, no, thank you. You know, we gave it the office. No, I want us to see that there's some other stuff going on there. When the disciples went in, it wasn't just, well, we really just don't care to hear that. No, there was some rejection and some persecution associated with that. There was some drama. There was some stuff associated with the rejection. And so there's sometimes that people are going to throw some stuff at you. They're going to point fingers at you. They're even going to falsely accuse you, and the list goes on. And Jesus, in fact, we know this to be true because he takes the rest of that chapter to fully explain and says to us that to his disciples to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. He goes on to say, be on guard, and that they're actually even going to bring you up to the local council. They're going to take you to the synagogue, and they're going to beat you. Now, that's a bad place to be beaten, in the synagogue, in church. Nobody wants to go to church and get beaten up. They're going to take you. It says there'll be scourged. You're going to be beaten in the synagogue, that they'll bring you before the authorities. They'll arrest you. You'll be hated. Your family will betray you, mother against mother, father and children, on and on and on. He explained all that, the persecution. He even said if the head of the house is called Beelzebub, which is what they called him, then surely they're going to call you that too, that you're of the devil. They're going to turn on you. They're going to throw some stuff at you. Am I kind of painting a picture here? And he says, what are you going to do when that happens? And here's what he said. He said, first of all, two things. He said, first of all, he said, leave that home or town. Write this down somewhere. Let's just word it this way for our purposes this morning. Leave it in God's hands. When you've done what God has required of you, leave it. And so it doesn't necessarily mean a geographical relocation. Right? I want us to think spiritually today. Some of you, you know, you're thinking right now, I feel rejected by my wife or my husband, and pastor just said I can leave them. No, that's not what I said, okay? I didn't say go tomorrow and leave your job. I didn't say that, okay? Well, I want us to think spiritually today and understand. Last week we talked about we were to go and to grow and to sow. And sometimes when we sow, we got to sow it, and then we got to leave it in God's hands. We got to sow it, right? We do what God's called us to do, and then we leave the results to God. So leave it in God's hands. Number two, he says, shake the dust off. Now, he said, shake it off your feet. Now, as I've for many years heard this scripture and understood this scripture, and I believe rightly, I understood it rightly, and what he goes on to say is very true, and that is that for that one that doesn't receive you, that rejects you, and it's not just you that's being rejected we're talking about. We're talking about rejecting God, rejecting his word, rejecting this good news, that it will be more bearable that day than Sodom and Gomorrah was on that judgment day. There's a judgment day coming. They're going to have regrets saying, oh, if we would only have listened. So there's that, and it says, shake the dust off your feet. Something happens there. In fact, it says for a testimony. One version, one gospel account says for as a testimony against them. Now, I want us to focus on another part of this. So, before I leave this, though, this aspect of it, I heard of a pastor once that he was rejected by a town, and he literally went outside the town limits there and took his shoes off and dust and shook the dust off his shoes, okay? He literally did that. Now, what's interesting, what happened, though, was that town had all kind of financial problems, and the town was, in many areas, was declining and going down and suffering after that for many, many years. In fact, some of the leaders in the town trying to understand what the problem was in their town because they realized something unique was happening in their town. They went back to the records and they saw where this pastor had been rejected. And they actually looked up his son and called his son to the town to come back to the town and pray God's forgiveness over the town and blessing and favor on the town. That literally happened. So I realize there's that aspect. And usually when we read this, we're thinking about those terms. But I think if we're not careful, we have overlooked some other aspect of that that has to do with the messenger. He said to them, shake the dust off your feet. And remember what I said to Phil about the peace. He said, let your peace rest on the house. And if not, let your peace return to you. Could it be that you've left your peace somewhere. I just want to present this morning. Could it be that we've left our peace somewhere, that we've lost some peace over maybe not just left your peace, but lost your peace over some people or something or someone? Could it be that something you've been through, some bad experience from the past has so, get this, so attached itself to you that it has robbed you of your peace and is affecting you and hindering you everywhere you go? So in other words, do you need and I need to shake the dust off of our feet? Last night, I went out and did a little yard work, and I came back in the house, and I was in the kitchen and about to move out of the kitchen into another area, and I came back through, and I looked down, and there was mud on the floor. And I said, uh-oh. I said, I got mud on my feet, and I didn't realize I was tracking mud into the house. There was something attached to my feet that I didn't realize was there, and I was tracking it wherever I went. Can I tell you, it may be that there's something in your life that has attached itself to you, and it's stuck on you. You don't even realize it. It's still attached, and everywhere you go, you're tracking it everywhere you are, everywhere you go. We need to shake the dust off of our feet. Don't let any residue of the past attach itself to you. Leave it behind and don't take it with you everywhere you go. There's some things, listen, that attach themselves to us. But what I'm talking about is not just something on the outside like dust or mud. I'm talking about things that attach itself inside. You know, that's where we have most of our problems. We try to fix everything on the outside, but the inside of us. Listen, why do you think Jesus talks so much about the inside? He talks so much about the outside. I mean, after all, that's what faith is for. It's for what's going on the inside. The older I get, the more I realize it's not just what happens to you. It's not the stuff that happens to you. It's not the stuff that you're dealing with. It's how you're dealing with the stuff. It really is. I mean, you think about it. What is faith for? Why was it that Jesus was talked about? It's not what comes, what a man eats, but what comes out of him that defiles him. It's not the external. It's what's going on in the inside. So there's some things that attach themselves to us on the inside. I've made a list that's not exhaustive, but just some things that you might want to consider. One of those things that seems to attach itself to us is rejection. Somebody's rejected us. Somebody said, no, I'm not interested in you. And so we've interpreted that as a result of that is to think of ourselves that, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Or we walk around in failure. We feel like a failure because someone else has evaluated us and put their opinion on us. And so we walk around and we're tracking failure everywhere we go. Come on, we're tracking in failure everywhere we go. Or here's another one, words. Somebody spoke a word against you or over you or in a negative way. It could be a teacher, could be a parent, could be a neighbor, could be somebody in your life that spoke a word against you, a negative word over you, and you believed it. And you adapted it, and you hung on to it, and it clung to you, and it got in your mindset, it got inside of you, and here you are, you got, come on. And that word is not just, now it's just collecting dust. Come on, you know, it's just, and you just walk around in that thing. Or here's another one, abuse. Somebody took advantage of you in some way. It could be physical, it could be more mental, emotional, but it could be somebody just took advantage of you and used you and abused you. But it's attached itself, and you're walking around as a victim. Instead of a victor, you're a victim, right? Here's another one, hatred. So maybe it's a result of the abuse or whatever you've been through, something done to you. And there's and it could be this way. Maybe you're the subject of somebody's hate. And then they projected their hate on you, and it stuck. And now you're kind of hating back. It goes both ways, just full of hatred, just hatred. But it's attached itself to you. And then you hate everybody. Somebody didn't like you. Somebody didn't like a post. Or maybe they posted it and you didn't like it. And then so you don't just say, well, that's their opinion. I got my opinion. No, I'm going to I'm gonna vent all over Facebook. I'm gonna scatter it all over the place. And after I get through scattering, then I'm gonna defriend them. You know? It's not that I just don't like you. I mean, it's not that I just have a different opinion. Now, I hate you. Come on, there's a lot of that. I'm talking about the world in which we live, y'all. Hatred. Hatred. You know, it used to be we have different opinions. Now just hate. 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 Attaches itself to people. Walk around mad all the time. Here's another one. Betrayal. Betrayal. And that may sound a little bit like rejection, but I think betrayal has another aspect to it. It's someone that you trusted. Someone that you knew. And that person betrayed you. That's close. That hurts. Attaches itself to you on the inside. Here's another one. Pride. Pride. Pride can attach itself to you. So that you're a slave to the opinions of others. Wanting approval. Wanting that approval. How about offenses? Offenses. We live in a generation of offenses. It's easy to attach itself to you, offenses, when you get offended. Just offended. All the time offended. Just looking to be offended. We live in a generation of people just being offended. Did you know there's a book I've shared with this church many times by John Bevere called Bait of Satan? It's the tool that the enemy uses, you know, like you're fishing, you put bait on the end to lure people away. It's offenses. He uses it a lot in churches. People get offended, pulls them away. Works all the time. Offenses. Jesus even said to John the Baptist, blessed is he who's not offended in me. Sometimes we even get offended in the Lord. Offenses. Attaches itself. We walk around. And so we get offended in one place. And we're offended. So I'm going to go over here and we track it all over the place with us, right? Just offended, offended. We're offended, and then it leads us to anger, which kind of like hatred, but we're just angry. Just angry, angry at the world. Angry at the world. You know, just angry. Reminds me of the guy, you know, he took a nap, older guy, and he had one of those handlebar mustaches, you know, and his kids go into the room while he's sleeping. His grandkids slip in there, and they take this Lombard cheese, you know, and they put it all over his mustache, and he wakes up, and he's like, stinks in here, something smells in here. Goes in the kitchen where grandma's cooking. Something smells in here, something stinks in here. Goes outside, and he says, well, the whole world smells. The whole world stinks. You know, it may be that there's just something in it and we just walk around with anger because something happens on the inside. Here's another one. I'm going quickly through this. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. That's huge. That's huge. We let the sun get out on our wrath, and we've been walking around. Now it's part of who we are. And then if it goes unchecked, we get into this thing called bitterness. It's like a cancer, and it begins to grow inside of us. And I just want to encourage someone. Let me give you the scripture. It's not in your notes. I mean, it's not up here on the screen. But Isaiah 52:2 says this: shake yourself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bands of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. So look at that. These things that we need to shake ourselves of, it's actually caused something to be a band around our neck. In other words, we're imprisoned by this stuff. We can't do, and we can't go to the next city and be effective for him. We can't go to the next person and be effective. We can't have good relationships in our life. Our whole life has changed because of this stuff attaching itself to us. We can't be effective for him. We can't heal the sick and raise the dead. Come on and cast out demons and do the things that Jesus has called us to do. When we're walking around with stuff still attached to us, all those experiences attached to us, so that we can't be effective for him. But here's what I'm going to encourage you, and I'm just going to try to share this, how I believe the Lord in the middle of the night gave this to me. We need to let go of offenses. We need to let go of rejection. We need to let go of the past. We need to let go of yesterday. Come on, we need to let go of yesterday so we can have a tomorrow, right? We need to settle the past so that we can have a future. We can't. We need to let go of the baggage and don't take the baggage into our future. The parasites, the leeches, that thing that's attached itself to us. That's why Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt. She left Sodom, but Sodom was still a part of her, and she turned around and couldn't get out. That's why the children of Israel, when they were left Egypt, they left Egypt, but Egypt was still inside of them. God got them out of Egypt, but he had to then deliver them and get Egypt out of them. Come on, raise up another generation who believed God, who wasn't attached to all that stuff. Amen? Come on, we got to shake the dust off. Like Paul, who was bitten by a snake, it came up out of the fire and bit him. And it says that Paul just shook it off, and it went back into the fire. And those watching him said, we're waiting for him to swell up or die, because that's a venomous snake. But when they looked at him and said, he's not even swelling up. There's no reaction to it. Look at Acts 25. And Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. Come on, no. Somebody say no ill effects. No ill effects. It didn't attach itself. He just shook it off and went on. And they thought he was a god. He wasn't a god. He was just a guy who believed God. Amen? Amen. Come on. That's right. That's a good place for a good amen right there. Amen. Y'all, I know this is probably classic, and y'all have all heard it before, but I have to share it here. The horse, you know, that fell into the ditch, you know, and they had no way of getting him out down in that deep hole, and they didn't know what to do and how to get him out. And they said, we'll never get him out of there. Might as well just bury him. You know the story, don't you? Come on, y'all ahead of me. Y'all with me? So they start shoveling some dirt in the hole. Just go ahead and just cover him up. Every time that dirt would hit the horse's back, he just shook it off and stepped up. He just shook it off and stepped up. Come on, you know what happened. He just kept shoveling dirt in. He just kept shaking it off and stepped up until he walked on out of there. Now, that's what we got to do. We just got to shake the dust off, and whatever that is, let go of it and let God have it. Upward and onward. And don't let the enemy, come on, camp out on the inside. Rent space in our head. I was watching an episode one time of Candid Camera. Y'all remember that one? Okay, nobody's as old as I am, and you don't want to raise your hands. That's all right. That's all right. Candid Camera, and they were up there in New York City, and they had a setup there where people would come and they'd buy something, and they could pay them cash, and they were owed change back, but they wouldn't give them change back. And they had a little sign up there, and they said, we have a no return change policy. And that messed with people. What? What you talking about? You owe me something. No. See, it's our policy. We don't give change back. We just don't do that. And this one New Yorker, you know, he's okay with it. And they talked to him, and he said, hey. When they revealed who they were, he said, hey, I just don't let people rent space in my head. That's a classic New Yorker, right? I'm just not going to let people rent space in my head. Come on, we let the enemy rent space in our head. Someone owes you something. And the Bible says, owe no man to anything. The borrower is slave to the lender. Some of us have become slaves because you've borrowed something that didn't belong to you. You borrowed it and said to yourself, I'm just keep it a little while because I need this, because I'm justified in having this for a little while. Come on, I'm just going to share what the Lord gave me right here, okay? So I'm just going to have this for a little while. So someone did you wrong, an action or an inaction occurred on the part of someone else, but you took offense. It was their wrong, but you took it. You borrowed, saying, I have a right to take offense. I'm only going to take it for a little while, but somehow you still have it. And the sun went down on your wrath, and you took it to bed with you. And now many sons have come and gone, and you still have something that doesn't belong to you. You're walking around with residue on your shoe from some place, someone, something, some hurtful situation or hurtful person on your shoes, and your shoes are dusty. And because you have never learned how to shake the dust off, you've traveled to the next town, from one situation to the next, accumulating dust. Come on. Who was the character on Charlie Brown? Was it? I thought it was Linus. Linus was the blanket guy. It was Pigpen. You remember Pigpen? Was that his name? Help me, y'all. Was it Pigpen? He walked around. You know, you see the kids dancing on the Charlie Brown thing. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't know. How's that tune go? I can't do it. Anyway, and they're all, you know, they move like this. And you look over there, and there's Linus, and it's just a cloud of dust around him. Just a cloud of dust. Some of us, we just walk into our job tomorrow with a cloud of dust around. It's just a dust bowl, y'all. Just come on, just walking around in dust. And they see you coming. They say, oh, Lord, here comes the dust storm. You know what I'm saying? Your dust has dust. Your issues have issues, and you're walking around that stuff that you should have that should never be yours. You should have been returned to the sender a long time ago. Come on. Those of you that don't know this, I'm a bivocational pastor, and I deliver the mail, and I've been reading your mail. Come on, I'm just saying. And I've seen some of you got your mailbox stuffed, and you won't get your mail out. Some of it's not even yours. It's been misdelivered or the last residents that lived there. You need to get the mail out of the mailbox. It's accumulating. You're accumulating other people's mail. It's the wrong address. You need to return it to the sender. I'm just saying that to say this. What the devil sent for evil, don't accept it. Let God turn it around for good. Come on, somebody. This is for somebody. My wife, she just went through something on Easter Monday. I told y'all it's going to be a little different today. But on Easter Monday, she had to have surgery on her thyroid. Had to move the entire thyroid out of her neck because they found spots of cancer. Just going to be transparent. Share with you something personal. Had to remove that entire thing, and they said they got it all. The word came back cancer-free. We're praising the Lord. Amen. Amen. Come on, praise God for that. And so we're praising God for that. I remember there in the hospital, I said, Kim, we're just going to thank the Lord. And she's laying there on the bed. She's still under some of that what do you call that stuff? Yeah, that stuff. And she's laying there. Kim, we're just going to thank, we're just going to worship. We're just going to thank. Her little hands just went up in that bed, with both hands. We just worship you. We just thank you, Jesus. We just thank you, Jesus. But you know how the enemy does. And then she runs into people who says, have you ever had somebody, when you're battling something, they say, oh, yeah, I had an aunt that died of that. Come on, that kind of stuff. Put a spirit of fear on you. Listen, God didn't give you the spirit of fear. That didn't come from God. Come on, return it to the sender. He gave you the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. She called me the other day. Some customer came up to her and shared something with her, and she was crying her eyes out talking to me. Listen, here's my advice for if that happens to you. Put up your hand as like a stop sign, like a police officer in an intersection. Say, whoa, stop right there. Listen, whose report are you going to believe anyway? I'm not going to receive any bad news. My hope is in the Lord. I'm believing his word. Nope, returning that to sender. Not gonna, come on. Somebody said, when the devil comes knocking at the front door, let the Holy Spirit answer the front door. Come on. I'm not going to come in my house. Not going to open the door. Come on. When I get numbers that I don't know on my phone, I don't answer them. I don't know about you. When the devil sends something that you shouldn't be receiving, don't receive it. Reject that. Don't want to hear it. I'm trusting the Lord. Amen? Amen? Come on. Let God turn it around for good. And we know it's true. He works all things together for our good. No matter what comes our way. And even when that person does you wrong, even when you have a right to fight back, the Bible says, God said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. God says, leave it, shake it off, go on, and then he says, they're in trouble. Let me handle it. Let me handle it. Joseph had a right to be offended. Remember, his brother, your own, you're talking about betrayal? Some of his brothers wanted to kill him. Now, I've seen some fights. I've seen some arguments and some fist fights. But come on, kill your brother? And that's the way they felt about Joseph. They sold him off into slavery. You know the story. But at the end of the day, the Bible describes Joseph as that vine that came over the wall. Instead of allowing a wall between them, he was a faithful vine that grew over the wall, reached out to his brothers. Because of his ability to forgive and move on and restore that relationship, God saved the entire nation of Israel through Joseph. He didn't allow anything to derail him from his faith and commitment to God, and therefore God was able to fulfill his purpose in and through Joseph. He forgave. So we got to let the past go, settle the past again so we can have a future. And can I just tell you something else? Your dust, yours and my dust. This is for me too. Our dust, it gets on other people. It really does. It gets other people dusty. It really does. And we need to clean the house. We need to clean the house. Since my wife's been sick, I've been doing a lot more of it. I found out things get dusty real quick. In fact, I found out doing clothes. I mean, you know, how do we stop this? I guess we just stop getting up and getting dressed, getting in the bath and getting, you know what I'm saying, get dressed every day because it just nonstop. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Same thing with dust. Things just get dusty. You just sit there and they just get dusty and it grows and you bring it with. And so you got to get out the vacuum cleaner. Some of us, see, there's two different settings on the vacuum cleaner. There's the place where it sucks it in. Mine, the shop back, you put it on the other side, it'll blow it out. Some of us are doing that. How you doing today? What's been happening? I mean, you know, we just spray it everywhere we go. You know, I'll tell you this. Let me just share with you a little bit. Just have a little fun. I was, as I've been home being the caregiver for a while, I've been watching a lot of HGTV. I decided I just want to retire and watch HGTV. And people get blessed. I love to see the before and after. You know what I mean? Even if I miss all the stuff in between, I like when that Fixer Upper show. You know what I'm talking about? I like the last 5 minutes when they do the reveal. And then when those people go, oh, and they start crying, you know, I cry with them. I just like seeing people get blessed. I like something going from old to new. I like seeing something going from dirty, filthy, a mess, to something clean and beautiful. Can I tell you something? That's what our God does. He takes something that's dusty, that's a mess, that's muddy, that's filthy, that has no purpose, no reason to rhyme to it. He takes it and he cleans it up and he makes something brand new. And it's not just on the outside we're talking about. He goes on the inside and he makes us brand new on the inside. Amen. And can I just tell you, can I just give you some good news? God wants to do that. He wants to bless you. He doesn't just want to renovate. Come on, he wants to build a whole new house inside of you. You know? I mean, we got to ask ourselves, are we hoarders? Hoarding up that stuff. That stuff, that thing that's attached itself to us. And just and we look clean on the outside, maybe, but there's still clutter on the inside of us, and we gotta let it go. Don't hold on to the dusty things. Bible makes it even more plain than that. I hate to say this in church, you know, kids are in there, that's all right. Bible says we return back to our vomit. Like a pig going back in pig pen, we're talking pig pen. Go back to the pig pen and just wallow in that stuff. Why do you want to do that? Remember Lot's wife. She was good for nothing. She became a pillar of salt, good for nothing, because she looked back. She lived in yesterday. But our need is that we need to be healed. Take our burdens, take our stuff, take our dust, put it at the foot of the cross. Give it to the Lord, and one song says, and leave it there. And maybe it's not just what other people have done. Come on, let me go here for a minute. Maybe it's what we've done that we can't get past. Our own stuff. I just got good news for somebody. It's all good news, y'all. When we bring it to Him, God puts it into the sea of His forgetfulness. And I like what one person said. And then He puts up a sign that says, no fishing. Isn't that great? Don't go digging it up. And I know the enemy will bring it up. And what I've learned is quickly, I say, God, I give it to you. I don't dwell on it. I don't accept it. I don't bring it in. I say, Lord, I can't handle that. I give it to you. I give it to you. I release that thing to you. I give it to you. But how good news, what great news is that? Maybe, again, there's so much stuff of our own mistakes that we can't get past and we don't know how to deal with it. And we even wonder if God can even get past it. You don't know my situation, Pastor. It's complicated. I got drama. I made some mistakes. I've done some things that aren't right. Yeah. And we all have. The details may be different, but we all have. We all have. There's not one righteous, no, not one. However, there is one that was righteous. His name is Jesus. And what he did was he took our stuff on him. He took our stuff. And he paid for our stuff. He paid for our sins. Hell's not a place that God wants you to go to. Hell's just a place where you go to pay for your sins. But why would you want to go do that when they're already paid for you? Jesus paid them for you. Hey, that's good news, everybody. Let me give us some practicals. Let's do some take-homes real fast. Write this down. So how do we say, okay, I need to shake the dust off. How do I do that? Number one, this may sound simple and say, yeah, right, but I believe it's true. Number one, let go. Let go. Another way of putting it, it's let it go. Let go. Release. How do we do that? Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15 says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. That's a pretty good deal. That's a pretty good deal. And you're not going to forgive anybody any more than what Jesus has already forgiven yourself. Come on. Now, secondly, but if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. In other words, you've blocked him. But if you'll let go. Second thing, and let me just say this. Here's what's going to happen. If you let go, you'll experience freedom. You're going to experience freedom. Forgiveness, same thing. You're going to experience forgiveness. Okay? Number two, let God. Let God. Let go, let God. Y'all heard that, but it's true. Let go and let God. And what's going to happen is you're going to experience faith. You're going to find out what faith is for. Not faith in the problem, not faith in the stuff, but faith in him. He's greater than that stuff. You're going to experience faith. Let me give you a scripture for that. Let me show you that in scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. I want to understand that stuff. Don't lean on that. Don't look at that. Trust in the Lord and lean not into your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He's going to work it out. He's going to direct you. Come on. Amen. Number three, let others. Let go, let God. Now let others. Now, here's what's going to happen with this. This might be surprising to some of you. When you let others, you're going to experience healing. You're going to experience healing. And this is the way God designed it. God forgives, but he uses people to heal. You know, it's still God that heals, but he uses people. I'll show it to you. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Come on. So that you may be healed. So God uses people. That's why we do small groups. We do small groups around here not for the sake of curriculum or activities or whatever. Those things are just excuses. We want to get you in relationship with somebody where you can be real and say, can I tell you something? There's some things going on I need to talk to somebody about. And then you get real, and then you iron sharpens iron. You start pouring into each other's lives. And God, that's the system God designed. That's why the enemy attacks relationships, because it's God's system for healing. Come on. That's good stuff. That's going to help you. And then just do this. Let's just write this down. How do you do all that? How do you let go? How do you let God? How do you let others? Here it is. Write it down. Invite his presence and experience his peace. Invite his presence and experience his peace. What are we talking about? Let the peace return to you. Come on, invite his presence into that situation. And the result is you're going to experience his peace. Let me give you this scripture. It's found in Revelation chapter 3. Jesus says this. I love this. In a New Living Translation, it says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door." See, he doesn't, he's a gentleman. He doesn't barge his way in. You got to let him. You got to let God. "If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." Now, that's the coolest thing. God wants to be our friend. Jesus said, "I don't call you servants, I call you friend." He presents the Holy Spirit and says that we want to, that we should enjoy the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. God wants to be our friend. That's an amazing thing. And when he's your friend, no matter what you go through, come on, he says, "Oh, let it go. Let it go. Go on, move on, and experience life." I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. And I just want to give an opportunity for someone here to experience life. I'm telling you, this was for somebody today, and probably more than one person, okay? Somebody needs to surrender. That's a powerful word. Surrender. Surrender. Fact is, when we're in control, it doesn't work very well. But when we surrender and say, "God, I want your way because my way is not working. I surrender my way to your way, my will to your will," something powerful happens. God comes in. We experience the power of Jesus, experience the power of his forgiveness, of his healing. We experience a power that's going to lead us day by day. We can walk with him and have a relationship with him. We can experience the power. The Bible says that we can experience the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that can live inside of us. That's amazing. What a power that would raise Jesus from the dead. It now can live inside of us. And that's the power that we need to live this thing out. Somebody I'm speaking to today has been walking around in bondage and fear and letting things attach itself to you until you've got layer after layer. Peel back one layer is another layer. Let me tell you, in the name of Jesus, Jesus took care of every area, every issue, every problem when he died on the cross. Provided everything that you have need of, and all you've got to do is surrender. Here's what I'd like to do today. I'm going to move very quickly now. There may be people here that need to pray and accept Jesus, and you're saying, "Today, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to commit my life." Here's what we're going to do. This is the way we do it. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front, but I would like to lead you right where you're seated. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I just want to lead you in a prayer. I'm saying, I got to commit. Maybe it's a recommitment. Maybe stuff has just happened, not intentionally, but it's there, and you're not where you need to be in your relationship with him. I want to lead you back into a right relationship with him today. It may be first time, maybe coming back. Whatever that looks like, it doesn't matter. We're going to pray. I'm just going to help you with the words. All you've got to do is mean it. So if you're here or you're watching online, I want to lead you in that prayer. But if you're here today, would you just say, "Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in that prayer? I want you to slip up your hand and put it right back down. I just want to know who I'm praying with. Pastor, that's me. When you pray that prayer, count me in. I'm not going to embarrass you or have you come to the front. I'm simply going to lead you in a prayer. Come on, just slip up a hand very quickly. Say, "Pastor, I just want to make it right. I want to make sure it's right." Slip up a hand, put it right back down. Yes, God bless you today. God bless you. God bless you. If you're watching online today, and say, "That's me," pray with us. Pray with us this prayer. Come on, I want everybody to pray this out loud for those that need to pray it. Whether you raise your hand or not, all you got to do is mean it. Just pray this prayer. Come on, for support, let's all pray this. Just pray something like this, just helping you with the words. Just say, "Today, God, I surrender to you. Forgive me for going my way. Today, I want to go your way. I invite you to come into my heart. Come inside and heal me. Remove the things that are unlike you. Cleanse me. Make me whole. Make me complete. Make me well. God, I want to experience your peace. So I ask you to come inside and make me brand new. Thank you for paying for my mistakes and my sins. I accept you now. I accept your forgiveness and your love and the power to change. God, thank you. Come on, just say this. I give you my life. And with all of my heart, I will follow as you help me. I will follow you as you help me all the days of my life in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for every person who needed to pray that prayer and prayed it. God, I just bless them and I celebrate with them today. I pray, God, that you would help them as they follow you. God, that they'll do what they need to do. They'll leave that thing and take the next steps in following you day by day. God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, right now, I just want to pray a special prayer for those that have just been bound by stuff, that call you Lord, but yet there's things that just will not let go. God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, set them free. I pray for freedom. I pray for victory over that thing, over that person, over that stuff in the name of Jesus. And Lord, God, we release to you all of that. And in the name of Jesus, we declare that we are yours. And we declare that we have power, that we have love, and that we have soundness of mind through the Lord Jesus Christ today. God, we give you all the praise for what you're doing in our lives. And we commit everything to you, and we're trusting in you with all of our heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen.